Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Forms and Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Mahalo. Aloha, everybody. This is Professor Gary Lee from the Sport Karate Museum in Sugar Land, Texas. And welcome to the Parts Unknown AMAA Live Radio Talk Show. We get to interview movers and shakers of the martial arts. We get to put together an incredible group of people to hear their opinions on various topics. But we do it because we got people that believe in the sport, craft, and museum, and the history. And one of those men is my producer. The man that has put us on the air in the homes every Tuesday night with his vision of showing respect the way he does. I want to introduce him right now. He's from North Carolina. He is the founder of the AMAA Network, Hachi Jesse Bowen. Sir, are you there?
I am, sir.
Good evening, Hachi.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm excited about, you know, our shows and how much the popularity it is. But, you know, I want to get you in a corner. You're doing something really good for one of my dear friends and an icon to the martial art community, Miss Cynthia Rothrock. And I want you to share that, what you're doing for her in a couple of weeks. Sir, please.
Yes, sir. We are in Las Vegas on July the 28th and 29th for a great weekend, a tribute to Cynthia Rothrock. You know, she was a part of helping us to kick off in 2016 with the book, and we did a tribute to her. And, you know, this year we thought we would, since we were recognizing the women in the martial arts, is to do an honor to her. You know, Cynthia and I, we work on a lot of different things. We are actually starting a scholarship fund. It's the Cynthia Rothrock Scholarship, and this is awarded to young ladies that are involved in sport karate with a great GPA. And so what we're doing, actually, presenting, our goal is that we have five people. We've already taken names, and hopefully next week we'll announce who those scholarship winners are. But just some trying to do some good back and you know, bring those people in that are doing a lot of great things. So, yes, we're going to be doing the Cynthia Rothrock tribute. I want all of her fans, your Cynthia Rothrock fans, show up. If you're a Cynthia Rothrock fan, you know, put your bio in the book. This is going to be an awesome tribute book. You know, we're looking for great things out of this upcoming book.
Where is it? And I know it's in Las Vegas at New Orleans, but when is it exactly, the date? And anybody wanted to get in contact with you, share with them how they get in contact with you, please.
Okay. It's going to be July the 28th and 29th. It's at the Orleans Hotel. You can go to our website. You can book rooms, get airline discounts, all those things to show up. Now, we've got a new project that we're going to add in there. We've got a great sponsor. And so what we're going to do, since, you know, next weekend is actually a Memorial weekend, not this coming weekend, but the weekend after next, Professor, we're going to give you a $300 hotel savings card that you're going to be able to have a drawing for here on your program. And so when people like your Facebook page, we're going to take a look at all those people, you know, over the next week that likes your Facebook page, and they're going to be entered. And we're going to have the drawing here online, you know, of a $300 hotel savings card. That means that if you're going to, you know, instead of paying a high rate for a hotel, you'll be able to use this card and actually get a discounted rate with this hotel card, and it has a $300 value. So we're going to give you that so that next week, you can use that on your show.
Well, we got Mike on the show next week with his cookbook, and you're going to –
That's going to be fun.
Yeah. But, you know, sir, you know, I'm not bragging, but I'm excited. I had over 6,000 hits on the Sport Crowded Museum webpage last month. It was crazy.
Oh, good.
I know, it's crazy, but one last thing. You've done something really special for the Sport Crowded Museum. You set up a store, and we've got a book. Tell people how they can get their ring or a hat or some, you know, something from the store, or see the book that we did a couple of years ago that's really special. Please share with people that.
Yeah, so basically all you need to do to get to the store is actually go to our website, which is Who's Who in the Martial Arts, and on the Who's Who in the Martial Arts menu page, you go click on the store. And once you go in the store, we have a section set up just for the Sport Karate Museum. So once you go in, you'll be able to go into that particular section, and everything that's dealing with the Sport Karate, whether it's the ring, the books, or whatever, you'll be able to get it right there on the store. And that's
thank you for all you do. Thank you for all you
do,
Hachi Bowen. We appreciate you every day, and we wish that what you do for Cynthia will be really special, and I know it will. So we'll talk to you real soon, sir, okay?
All right. Be blessed.
Aloha. That is Hachi Jesse Bowen, ladies and gentlemen, my producer of our weekly radio show. Now I want to bring on my student, someone that's been a part of my life for the past 10 years, and I'm going to introduce him first. And then I'm going to bring on the other co-host. And then we're going to bring on our special guest tonight. We got a really special guest. But this man, he came to me from a great man named Joe Louis, one of the greatest fighters we ever had. And 10 years ago, he became my student. I mean, basically, Joe allowed me to adopt him. And for 10 years, we've been on a journey. He's a 9-3 black belt. He's a history general, actor, an amazing world champion in sport karate. He goes by an alias, but we know him as Dean Pyle. Dean, are you there?
Yep, I'm right here, sir.
Hey,
how you doing?
Wolverine, how you
see
doing?
You, the
good,
doctor.
Buddy. Well, tonight, we usually do topics and everything, but a Mother's Day this year, you and I lost one of our best friends. I mean, he actually promoted me to my first 9-3 black belt, him and his dad before he passed. I got to roast him in Atlantic City. He really became more than a friend to me. And we're talking about the great Michael DePasquale Jr.
Yeah.
And of course, you worked with him too. So I want to do 30 seconds of silence. And then I'm going to let you say goodbye to him in the way that I know you can. So this moment, 30 seconds of silence, my dear friend, Michael DePasquale, Jr. Mikey, I love you. Go ahead, Dean. Talk about our buddy a little bit.
Yeah, you know, Michael DePasquale, he worked hard, you know, training people. He loved working with people, but, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, that are in the martial arts that go to these, you know, big events. And because they go to these events or they're holding these events, they think, Well, you know, before the event, they're your best buddy. They're calling you all the time, talking to you, you know, really want to be about you. And then when the event happens, you know, and you're there and you try to talk to them, they ain't got time for you. You know, they're rude. It's about to, it turns into about the dollar. But, you know, Michael was never that way. He was the same person all the time, you know, and he loved training people and teaching. And, you know, I mean, we had a very close relationship. He was so close that in the movie, The Coward, he was actually playing my father in that movie. That was his role, as playing my father. And, you know, it's just, you know, just a couple months ago, he had called me, just wanted to FaceTime because he said he just wanted to see me, and he started talking about my beard. But, you know, this guy's lineage, you know, is so high. You know, I know we've had this talk before, but his mother was the first person to be in martial arts on film, and that was in a television commercial for some cars. But, you know, his family.
The CIA and the FBI.
Yeah, his family had so much to do, and it has such a – what people don't realize is his family is such a big part of America, and, like, the policing and a lot of the stuff that goes on, you know, they don't realize how much that his family and himself had contributed to that. You know, he ran the Action Stunt Academy up in New Jersey, and that was even a TV show for a while. He had – you know, magazine. He, you know, he was one of the first people to start putting out.
Yep, exactly.
And putting out this stuff. And, you know, it's just going to be sad. I mean, it's just, you know, even this whole week has went by for me. I've just had this, you know, this weird, you know, heaviness hanging over because it's just, the world just feels a little different without Michael in it because, you know, he's such a good person, always smiling. You know, it's just a good time. I'm really glad that during the Battle of Atlanta, when we got our Joe Louis Award, you know, I felt honored to have, you know, you there, Michael DePasquale, Bill Wallace, Jeff Smith. I had all these legends at my ring compete, and it was an honor to be able to, you know, put the smackdown on some people that day. Thanks to God and you know, the people that God put in my life.
Mikey loved you, Wolverine. We talked about you. He loved you, Wolverine. You know, he really did.
Yeah.
And thank you for
he'll be greatly missed. So.
Yes. Well, thank you for sharing the moment. And Mikey, we love you, and we think about you every time we joint lock somebody or break someone's little finger.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. And so I want to say to him in Cherokee, good day, you, Donata. Hey,
I'll talk to you soon, buddy. Keep making those movies.
Yes, sir. Yes,
now,
sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, the other gentleman that is my co-host, he's a pretty cool guy. You know, he's the only martial artist be put into the Cleveland Sports Hall thing. That tells you one thing. The other thing is that he's a spokesman for the military group of the Sport Karate Museum. So he's a Taekwondo master. That's a Korean martial art. He's from Cleveland, Ohio. My co-host, AJ Perry. AJ, you there, buddy?
How are you, Professor? Thanks for the nice introduction. You know, it's a shame martial arts, we lost a lot of people past year. And God bless Michael DePasquale's family.
Yes. Well, thank you for that. And, you know, AJ, thank you for being the co-host. And, you know, our show is really doing well. You know, people are picking up on it, and they're listening to us and the wisdom everybody shares.
Great group of people.
Thank you. Well, stay close. I'm going to introduce our special guest tonight. Now, this man, I don't know much about his history, but I do know his roots. He trained with a lot of people, but one of the persons he trained with was a man named Karl Marx, who from Louisiana. Now, Karl Marx was an interesting character, I'll say that. But yeah, I'll tell you one thing. His style, and he was one of the first people to create his own style, was accepted. I'm not making this up. Was accepted by Robert Trias and the USKA, the years of the USKA. Karl Marx created hundreds of black belts, but some were just incredible. And we're honoring his stepson back this October, Twain Kennedy. At the same time, Mike Stone's getting his 10th, Twain is getting his 9th. The memory of Karl Marx is like this gentleman I'm introducing. Now, he lives outside of St. Louis, I believe. His name is A.J. Freeman. Mr. Freeman?
Yes, sir.
May I call you A.J.?
Please. And while I've got the moment, just a deep condolences to the DePasquale family. I had not heard the news that he had passed, and I'm taking a moment here to collect myself. He was such an amazing and wonderful individual. We have lost a lot in our world due to his passing.
Well, thank you for saying that. And, you know, Mikey was a dear friend. As I said earlier, Mikey and his dad, I think I was his dad, ninth degree black belt, and they presented it to me at Arnold Schwarzenegger's event in Ohio. And a year later, I got to go to Atlantic City and put together a group of incredible people, including Bill Wallace, Jeff Smith, John Chung, Gary Alexander, Aaron Banks, a lot of people, to come roast Michael. And he was a big part of my life, AJ. Now, how long did you train with Karl Marx? How did you get involved with Louisiana Karate?
I got involved through Soke Michael McGann, who was Karl Marx's student, Dr. Marx's student, who created Wanomichi Ryu. And I got involved, it's been 30-plus years with Soke McGann on taking those ideas and those concepts that were so very, very new at the time and keeping them progressive and moving forward in the way that Dr. Marx had envisioned. This idea of a martial art that is still steeped in traditions but also willing to evolve and meet what is becoming a new world. I've been working with him on that for a long time.
How old are you?
I just turned 55.
55. So, now,
yes, sir.
You got to help me. Were you a competitor, too? Did you compete?
Oh, yes. I was a competitor for years through NASCA, ISCA, and all of the different organizations for a very long time. Down at the time I was in Florida, I started through the FLMA and up through NASCA and all the rest of that. And then eventually with Team USA for Taekwondo and also Karate. And now I'm old and broken. So now I do other things. It's like most competitors, my body has decided it's had enough.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, I remember you trained with Michael. Did you learn your weapons from Michael, too?
Yes, sir. I had
Michael has a great sword, Casa. I enjoyed sword, Casa. So did you learn all
met
the
over sword
weapons, like Tapa and nunchucks and thigh, bow? And
all of them.
Cool.
Mike and I met over sword. I had been living in Japan studying kenjutsu, and had just returned to the States and was doing a Iaido form at one of the competitions. And he came up to me afterwards and said, I want to talk to you. And it moved on from there.
Super. Well, you know, I trained with Mako Nishida, you know, the Japanese actor, for 22 years, and he more sure he got the art of the fast draw, you know. And I was a sword man. I mean, that's all I did other kabuto, but basically, I was a sword guy. I had a gunto and wakizashi and a 47-inch katana that I used. So, I don't know. I love my sword. I love my
I agree. I think when push comes to shove, every martial artist in the world who has studied multiple arts, we all have that one where if we had to settle down and only do one art, we instantly know which one that is. And for me, that would be something. I would continue that. There's that one that you fall in love with, and it never leaves you.
That's true. Now, AJ, what are you doing now? Are you just retired or what?
I am a neurophysiologist. My specialty is helping people with stroke and brain injury reintegrate brain to body. So I do a lot of work, and it actually comes from the martial arts, the idea of brain and body and mind and soul working together. When I started my research on this about 20 years ago, my concepts came from the martial arts. There's more to rehabbing the body than just that.
So not just helping people in martial arts, you help people in a sense of the stroke and their attitude after the stroke. Cool.
Yeah. So how can we get the brain and the body to communicate again and do the things that we know they can do?
Well,
I'll give you one of my secrets.
Listen to me. I'm going to bring you back a little bit. We're going to play the Legends name game. This is where I'll say a name, and you get to talk about it for a couple minutes, and that's how I close the show out. So don't go anywhere, okay, AJ?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to my special guest tonight, AJ Friedman. Now, what's exciting about this particular show is I get to talk to people around the country. These are five martial artists that I've put together from around America, and they get to talk about the topics that we decided to talk about. And I don't know, I believe that people should express themselves in a very positive way, no matter what the topic, question, or circumstances are. And that's what these five incredible people do to do. She's from New Jersey, but she lives in North Carolina now. She's a PKL champion. She studied Shoryu Karate and now is an avid practitioner of Kung Fu. She'll be at the Legends this year in October 6th for an incredible Tai Chi seminar and have a booth at the Super Vendor Show. I'm very proud to have and introduce my auntie, and I call her my auntie because she's my family, Auntie Karen Bodger. Auntie, you there?
Uncle Gary, I am here.
Wow, how are you tonight?
Okay, tired. Taught a couple classes, and I'm ready to put my feet up for a little while, but I love being here.
Well, we love having you. Okay, here's tonight's topic or question or however. Karen, has it bothered you at all that sport karate has been watered down through the years and now is considered play karate and has lost its deep respect when it was first created for the public. If you feel so, how and why?
Okay. I come from one-step sparring. Do you remember that? They would actually have tournaments and have one-step sparring, which I never could understand. Why are we training so hard if this is it? You know? I never was very good at one-step. But then points came on. Point sparring came out. And that was always very patty cake, tap, tap. You know, they didn't allow you to go too hard. So then came in full contact kickboxing. And that's what I trained in mostly, is in the ring, you know, to do kickboxing. And so I was at a lot of tournaments, and I saw it got pretty rough. I think it peaked about the mid-'80s, and then they started to insist that it was, what did they call that, excessive contact? And if you drew blood, they stopped everything over just a little bit of blood. It, come on, you know, no big deal. So it began to, people were getting litigious. They were suing or they were pulling their whole school out. So they started to calm it down a little bit then. And I noticed that when they used to try to not have people from the same school compete against each other until it got to the very end. And then if you were up against somebody from your own school in the finals, they would just make it look like a puppet show. It was stupid. It got, and they allowed that. So things changed around that time when it just lost its fire. Now, I have not been to a tournament in a couple of years, so I don't know what it is now. I think it's a shame.
Patty cake, baker's man. Patty cake, baker's man.
So is it
anyway.
Because of people don't want to get hurt? I mean, everybody quits now. Something happens, they just quit. I don't understand that either. But is that what it is? They don't want the census to go down in their schools, or people don't want to train hard? I don't know. I don't understand it.
We all know in the beginning, in the very beginning, I'm talking about the early 60s, the guys fought, and they fought because they had this show. The judges that were watching them, they could stop somebody if they were attacking them with pure technique. Now, sure, they had to show control, but they had to show technique. And what they had learned in the dojo, that it was real. Well,
right.
Through the time of money and ego and whatever, crossing tournaments has turned into a game. A play game. That's cool. I know that everything changes. But, you know, I believe that you got to change for the positive. And I've gone to some tournaments that recently that were great for my stroke. And then I've been to some that I'm so embarrassed just to be in the same room with the production.
Awesome.
But, you know, thank you, Karen. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Your opinion. You bet. You be
okay.
Sweet.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Karen Slatcher, my A3 Bravo from the Sport Crowd Museum. And now I'd like to go on to the next lady of the group. This is a pure Texas champion in kata and in fighting. She competed back in the day when they didn't separate men and women. I'm not kidding. I know you probably heard about that, but it's true. There were days when men and women actually competed together, not just kata. I'm not making that up. Anyway, I have her on the show. She's my guest, part of the morning. Are you there?
Yes, sir, I am. How's everyone doing tonight?
How are you? How are you tonight? Good. Here's a question or topic. Has it bothered you, Mortis, at all that sport karate has been watered down through the years and now is considered play karate or gymnastics in a sense, has lost its deep respect when it was first created for the public? If you feel so, how and why?
I'll start by saying that water down karate and play karate, in my opinion, is totally and completely unacceptable. That's not karate. That's not kung fu. That's not anything that I have ever studied or been associated with. What I think that is karate, it's all about, like, if you consider and take into consideration all the countries that in Asia, in Japan, in China, if when you had a male child, it was an honor to give your child up to the Chinese monks, and so they could be trained and learn to be strong and learn to have respect for their elders, which is very important. We lack a lot of that now in our children and in our teenagers. And it's all of it to me. Karate is about I identify it with respect, honor, integrity, discipline. It teaches a child to be disciplined from an early age, to learn how to fight, to learn how to protect themselves. The parents can't be around all of the time to protect them. So in situations that come up where the parents are not around, young girls are being now, children are disappearing, child trafficking. We should have much more responsibility in our children. It's an education. It's part of them raising up to be strong, to learn how to be dignified, to have integrity, and have honor.
Well, I believe that's one of the things, Marcus, I believe that's one of the things that you mentioned is very important is our kids. And that's one thing I think the tournament has done. It has influenced the children to make them stronger adults. But, you know, watered down, when I say that word watered down, I just simply mean that people had to change either because of insurance or I don't know, money.
Well,
it's changed so much where you don't feel the competitive attitude. Didn't in the last part of the 2000, early part of 2000 before I retired, I'd go to events. I didn't feel that charisma or that attitude anymore. That's one of the reasons I retired. So I lost that feeling. But, you know.
Yeah.
All right.
I understand. And I understand why. And I can tell you that what are we doing to help these children these days? I mean, if we're going to be worrying about what the parents think about what we're teaching their children, or their children come back home or are there watching at the school and get a bloody nose or get injured, a broken nose. I've had my nose put on the other side of my head. I can't tell you how many times. I never went home crying. To me, it's as important. Let me put it to you this way. To me, martial arts is as important as an education for our children. That's how.
And we'll keep doing that. We'll keep doing that, hopefully, in a tournament atmosphere. Lord, God bless you, and thank you so much for your opinion. Your input.
Thank you.
Now, moving on with the five, golly bum, five individuals who get to speak and talk how they feel. Now, one gentleman won't be here tonight because he's filming a series called Doc Savage, the famous hero from Marvel Comics. He's a star. Well, he's Doc Savage, and he'll be back next week. I'm talking about my friend Adam James. So, Adam, break a leg, buddy. We'll see. No, that's what we say in show business. So, Adam, we'll see you next week, bud. Now, part of the five is David Chambers. Did you call it yet?
Yes, sir.
Cool. Now, I got two more gentlemen of the five. This first gentleman is from Texas. God bless him. He is the president of the largest sport karate association in Texas, the oldest. Been around from the beginning of 1979. I know because I was there. he is a fighter, too. He has won the MVP, Golden Greek, over 5 times. He just recently had the Karate International Tournament in the Super Fights star-rated event of the Sport Crime Museum. He'll be a guest speaker Friday night at the Legends for the Black Karate Federation president, BKF president Jerry Smith. He is a history journal for the Sport Crime Museum. He is seriously one of the best competitors I know in the open circuit for years. And I get to introduce him on my show every week. I get excited. David Chambers, we call him DE for short. David, DE, you there, buddy? DE.
Oh, I guess if I take my phone off and mute, you can probably hear me.
Well, I've been bragging about you for the past 3 minutes. You didn't hear it?
I heard every bit of it.
Okay, okay. Well, anyway, DE, you know, I'll be interested to hear what you say because you're right in the middle of Sport Karate. Here it is. DE, has it bothered you at all that Sport Karate has been watered down through the years and now it is considered play karate and has lost its deep respect when it was first created for the public? If you feel so, how and why?
It actually does not bother me, because what you just asked me was, what was my feeling on sport karate? Well, if you'd asked me about karate, it would have been one thing, but they now have sport karate, and sports is just that, sports. And it's designed to keep you safe. It's designed to be a game. That's what sport is. Now, if you're talking about self-defense, well, that's a different avenue. If you're talking about karate, that's a different avenue. But on the subject that you're asking about in sport karate, well, I tell my people often, when my students come back, oh, Mr. Chambers, you done got softer now. You know, class was much harder. Class is much harder. My answer's always been, you can't handle the classes going on right now. what we did in the past is what we did in the past. And everyone who is saying, and I'm not talking about just here, I'm not talking about us talking, I'm saying everyone, period, that says, oh, man, it's so much different now, and I don't like it. You're not waking up in the morning fighting, getting your nose broken this week. You didn't do that. You know, I know you did it in the past, but we all have made a change. And not just the sport karate. We've made a decision that we don't want to do that. I know we don't want to say that, but you're not waking up in the morning fighting somebody, which ain't nobody in here got their nose broke this week because you're doing sports. Now, if you're doing self-defense, that's a different story. You're still no stress in that. But in the sport part of the karate, they got sport rules because it's a business. And when you're doing a business, you want to keep going with the business. You want that person to come back. And so you get too out of the boundaries of sport, then the person don't return because they are softer today. But again, that's why you have a sport karate, which can still teach the virtues, the discipline, and the respect, which is the most important part. But now, again, if you want to be aggressive, then I say come join my self-defense class. And you might have a few displace because we're doing some serious falls and serious contact. But I only have 5 people in that class. I got 125 in my other class. So, yes, the sport karate is doing just what it needs to do. It's sport related.
Good point, B. Listen, buddy, God bless you. And I hope you recover from your great tournament this weekend. I heard nothing but great things about it. And congratulations.
Well, it was beautiful. I do want to thank everybody for their participation. They was online. They had over 15,000 views online. That it was a huge, broke a record or two. The people was great. The Super Fights was phenomenal. Everybody's asking now when it's going to be Super Fights 3. So we're working on it. So, again, I want to thank everybody.
Well, it's a pleasure for us to give you a 5-star rating, big guy. So you take care, relax a little bit, kick somebody in the head with that sidekick, and I'll talk to you real soon, okay?
Yes, sir.
You bet. Now, to make up the last part of the 5, ladies and gentlemen, this is one of my favorite people in the whole world. I mean that from the heart, not just as a competitor, but as a American hero. And that's what he is. He's a Marine. He's a ex-karate champion. Has won national titles. Trained in Okinawa. A true samurai attitude. To say that, and I feel so proud to say that. Colonel Phil Torres. Colonel, you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am. Thank you for
what a great show tonight. And I wanted to,
what an introduction.
You know, I wanted to save you for last. I wanted to save in the moment because I know that you understand my attitude when I said what I'm saying. It's bothering me a little bit, Colonel, that my karate has changed to the level that I don't know. It's just changed, but I'm interested in how you feel about it, sir. Go ahead.
First and foremost, I was honored to be invited to Master Chambers' superb tournament this weekend. It was a fantastic event, and it went very well. So, thank you, dude.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I'm so glad you was there to help.
Thank you. In terms of the watering down, I think I have an understanding for what Master Chambers said, but I do feel, having been involved in the arts in one way or another since 1961, that makes it 62 years now, I do feel that there has been a watering down of karate practice in the dojo. I understand the difference between self-defense and sports. And in the sports karate, we don't want bloody noses every night. But beyond that, I think we have had in some areas around the country, and I've been to many of those dojos and dojams, that we have had a watering down. Some of it, sometime late 80s, 90s, I think by that time you begin to see what some of us call the Mac Dojos, and that's just opportunists, people taking advantage of an opportunity to make a quick buck, to try to fill up a school with as many people as they can, promote as often as possible to keep, especially the parents of the children interested in keeping the children in the dojos. So I do feel, and I am sad, that there has been a watering down beyond what Master Chambers spoke of, which I respect.
Yes, sir.
Some of it has to do with the litigation society that we have turned into, so that instructors have to be much more careful as to what happens in the dojo, since anybody can be sued at any time for anything, almost. So some of it is the change in the litigious society that we have become, and some of it came from people who just were opportunistic and wanted to make a quick buck and they found a way to make a quick buck by teaching what we don't feel is true karate, whether it's sports or self-defense. So I think all those factors keyed into that. There was a lot of creativity that went on, especially with katas or with forms, because people wanted to please the audience, and the more they pleased the audience, the more they wanted to showcase their abilities, or what I often refer to as gymnastics. I've seen it. Many of us call some of the schools Mac Dojos, because there is just a place to get a quick bite or a quick taste of karate and out the door quickly. So gaining attention, keeping the parents paying the monthly fees, making sure they didn't do anything they could get sued for. And it's sad because karate truly gives children a strong foundation upon which they can use to be successful in all areas of life later. The smart teachers combine the whole person concept when that child steps into the dojo, and keep track of how they're doing in school, and keep track of how that child is doing at home, and connect all together so that the encouragement is always to be the best child at home and be the best student in school and be the best worker at work. And there are instructors that do that very, very well in keeping the whole life of that student involved and building a strong foundation. So I'm very sad to see the Mac Dojo effect that has taken place, and that's not to take away from anything that Master Chamber said, because I agree that we have a difference between sports karate and true self-defense on the street.
I appreciate your wisdom, Colonel. It really means so much. The wisdom that you share and your knowledge, it means so much. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that completes the five incredible people that can talk about topics. Now, I'd like to introduce a couple things that I'm really proud to be a part of. One is the U.S. Martial Arts Film Festival. Did Leo or Keir call in by chance yet? Or did he call in?
Hey, Gary. I kind of attribute it to the Wussification of America. It's kind of gone hand in hand. They started Marine Corps martial art because they were getting recruits in that had never been smacked. You know, they didn't know how to take a smack or a hit. And the same thing has happened with sport karate, where, you know, they're wearing so much padding now. It's not even like karate. You know, the only ones that really kept true to the art within martial art and tournaments is the JKF and also the Kyoshinkaikan. They've maintained true to the art.
Yes. Well, you know, AJ, you're correct, buddy, and I appreciate it so much. Now, if Kieran Leo didn't call in, let me share.
Yes, sir. I'm here. Professor Gary, can you hear me?
Oh, yes. Is Keir?
Yes, sir. It's Keir, sir, right here.
Hey, Keir, let me do the introduction. The U.S. Martial Arts Film Festival is the first of its kind. They're going to be celebrating the 50th anniversary of Bruce Lee's Enter the Dragon. Now, some of my dear friends are going to be there in person, some of the true martial arts stars of our time. Rick Avery, Don the Dragon Wilson, Cynthia Rothrock, Ron Hall, Choo Choo Ling, Ron Van Cleef, the great Eric Lee, Billy Blanks, and we got some surprises for you. Now, here's what's really cool. Anybody that purchases a four-day pass to see the incredible movies that'll be featured, the U.S. Film Festival is going to be donating a portion to the Sport Content Museum. And you want to find out what everybody's talking about, go to www.sportkaratemuseumarchives.com and click on the U.S. Martial Arts Film Festival special page in the upcoming event. Also, look up the treasures page and see some of the incredible items that only the Sport Karate Museum has. Now, Keir, who else is going to be there that I didn't say?
Well, we just got a bulletin in. I spoke a little earlier. We are on the bubble hearing from Jeff Speakman, supposed to appear, Mr. Perfect Weapon himself, and Art Camacho. So we're excited about that. And we have a great slate of film, both vintage films and newer films. Everything from, of course, we're going to do the entire Bruce Lee catalog. And the films of the people appearing, Cynthia Rothrock, Ron Van Cleef will be showing The Black Dragon. We're also going to pay homage to a few folks that have left us, like Jim Kelly, Sonny Chiba. So we're very excited about the lineup.
Well, we're excited about being a major sponsor for you. Thank you for being on this show. Now, the other group that I've supported for the past couple of years is a group of virtual reality. And what they've done is they've created a hologram that will kick your butt. And to find out more about it, you can go to Google and just type SETVR.APP or go to the Sport Karate Museum archives.com site. And you can actually see details about SETVR in the application. But I've got the co-inventor on the show right now with me. And I will let him share with you a moment. His name is Dr. Reginald Lee, a real medical doctor who turned into a 9-3 black belt, my dear friend Reggie Lee. Dr. Lee?
Good evening, sir. How are you? Amazing show you have tonight.
What an incredible show. Now, give me a couple minutes on what SETVR is, Reggie.
Yes. With SETVR, you will not be outside looking into our program. With SETVR self-defense enhancement training and virtual reality, you'll be immersed, actually immersed 360 degrees into a program, a simulation program, whereby a hologram will attack you when you least expect it with sudden and random attacks. Just like the military has their simulation program, the police department has their program in simulation, this is a simulation for martial arts to practice the art of self-defense. We've chosen a dark alleyway where bad things usually happen. The hologram will get into your personal space prior to the sudden attack. It's during this fight for flight mode, during this adrenaline surge, whereby one would normally lose, one would normally have the momentary pause, losing about 35, 40, or even 50% of what they've been taught, and whereby utilizing muscle memory or reflex response would be your only and best recourse to engage and neutralize the threat. Just as a metaphor, placing your hand on a hot stove or as I tap your knee in the medical office to create a reflex response, that's the goal of the program of SETVR. This program is also, I utilize it as a way of practicing the art of movement, the art of Thai Sabaki. As a metaphor, if a train or a car was coming toward you or even a threat, you would not stand in front of the threat. You would move out of the way. This is a program whereby the hologram will follow you, attack you, and gives you the ability to move angular, linear, and circular to practice the art of Thai Sabaki to give you that cutting edge in regards to neutralizing your attacker. We've implemented a program of mindfulness, of stretching, meditation, exercise, and we'll also present you with your own personal yoga instructor. So please continue to visit our website at setvr.app. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Darley, the Sports Karate Museum, to be the future platform of his vision of the Sports Karate Museum in virtual reality with SetVR, for which SetVR has introduced Professor Darley as the Wisdom Warrior. But before meeting the Wisdom Warrior, one must neutralize a hologram attacker at the gate of the history portal and then be brought back into the courtyard, to the courtyard to meet the history journals. So, Professor Darley, if you can, some few words about your vision of the Sports Karate Museum and virtual reality with SetVR.
Well, my vision is really simple, Reggie. I want to educate. So with the history journal portals, once they go through the hall, they'll be able to run through their portals and learn the history of the history. And you guys hear that static?
Yes, yes.
Oh, God, now, thank goodness. Anyway, we're going to start with a core group. And that core group will be the start of every history general eventually that'll be inside the program. The core group consists of, in not any particular order, Judge Roy Kerbin, the creator of the two-point kick rule for the world in sport karate. George Minshew, the first man to give away a gold ring in open competition. Chris Minshew, an NBL certified world champion. Mike Dillard, the owner of Black Belt Magazine and the Century Martial Arts Manufacturing Supply Company, the largest martial art manufacturer in the world. For this core group, you'll get to learn the beginnings of sport karate in America. And then we'll add a new history general to the history generals every month or whenever we feel it's convenient for you to learn, to educate. Well, anyway, thank you, Reggie, for being on the show. God bless you, buddy.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Hey, Jay, Mr. Freeman, you there? WJJ, you there? AJ Friedman, been a great show this evening and sharing with the five, sharing with Dr. Lee, and sharing with my special guest, Ms. AJ Friedman. Well, you know, there's another reason why we do this show. We do this show because we want to educate. We want to share the wisdom of some of these incredible martial artists that we have on this show. And we thank everybody listening, everybody that cares to understand, to protect the history one warrior at a time. And with that said, don't forget about the Legends, October 6th and 7th in Houston, Texas. And for more information, you can call 713-483-0476. And we say this every week. And we mean it from the heart. Much, much, much mahalo and aloha. Good night.
Aloha, everybody. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.